ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट नंबर 41 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द किलिंग ऑफ डेमन पुतना। कतधूमस्य कटा सौरभ्याम अवग्रहाय व्रज ओकशः किमिदिम इन्दम कुट एव इति वदन्तः व्रजम आययु। कटधूमस्य सौरभ्या अवग्राय व्रजोकसः किमिदं कुत एवेति वदन्तो व्रजमाययो। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। Upon smelling the fragrance of the smoke emanating from Putana's burning body, many inhabitants of Vrajabhumi in distant places were astonished. "Where is this fragrance coming from?" they asked. Thus they went to the spot where Putana's body was being burnt. Purport. The aroma of the smoke emanating from a burning fire is not always very favorable. Therefore, upon smelling such a wonderful fragrance, the inhabitants of Vraja were astonished. Krishna. Kata dhumasya saurabhyam avagraya vrajaukasaha kim idam kuta eveti vadanto vrajam ayayu. So we are almost coming to the end of this particular pastime of Krishna killing the demon Putana. If you see this particular episode, and if one has to deal with this particular personality, then one would not deal the way Krishna dealt. Because Putana had come with the intention of killing Krishna. You can imagine, before that she has killed thousands of babies like this by feeding the poison. And ultimately, she was there to actually kill Krishna, who was just a helpless child from material point of view. So if somebody has to give justice, then the justice would not be done as what Krishna has done. We see in the material world, normally once His Grace Govind Prabhu was mentioning, that, you know, supposing somebody is driving on the road and he drives very, very properly, follows all the rules and regulations for 25 years. And after driving for 25 years very nicely, the next day he breaks a signal. The policeman catches him. The policeman will fine him for that. If you tell him or explain to him that, no, I have been driving for all these years, 25 years very nicely, only first time I had a mistake, the policeman will not accept that. He'll fine you. Because in this material world, we catch people doing wrong. That's our nature. We always try to find out where the person goes wrong and you catch them. We would not see what the person has done in all his previous days or previous time. But we see at that moment what that person has done. Krishna is not like that. Krishna, actually Putana came to kill Krishna, but Krishna took only the good point from that she came like a mother trying to feed breast milk to her Krishna. So Krishna accepted that particular quality. And what a wonderful gift that Putana got. That after leaving the body, she got that position of a mother, which is something quite amazing. At the same time, for us, it's hope-giving also. Because For so many lifetimes, we have committed so many offenses against the Lord. We have committed so many sins. If you see, there is no hope. But then, if you just turn over to Krishna, then definitely Krishna assures us that he'll take care of us. That's that hope giving. So this lesson, actually, I thought it's a wonderful meditation that, you know, by seeing this episode or hearing this episode of Putana, at least that hope is there. That some little intention, if one has to serve Krishna, then Krishna at least takes that and neglects everything else. As Gauram Prabhu gave a very brilliant class on this Sunday, that if Putana can be given liberation, what about us? Suppose somebody follows a particular rule and regulation in a favorable way. So this is the quality of the Lord. And this particular verse gives another dimension of Krishna's mercy. Just by the touch of Krishna, Putana's body became completely purified. So much so that normally when a material body is being burnt, it will not emit any fragrant smoke, smell, nice fragrance. But here, Putana's body was burnt and it was so fragrant. And that was being smelled by those inhabitants of Vraja. And they were wondering from where it is coming from. That just because of Krishna's touch. Krishna touched the body of Putana and the Putana's body completely became, purified. And so much so that even the burning, Prabhupada mentions that normally the aroma of the smoke is not always very favorable. Like sometimes, you do a fire sacrifice, you sit in front of the fire. The smoke sometimes is so irritating. It burns your eyes, causes tears. Sometimes you can't see what's happening and you feel like going out of that place. You can't go also till the yagya is over. But the thing is that it's not every time pleasurable to be sitting in front of the fire and perform the fire sacrifice. But here it's mentioning that, the body when it was burnt, it emitted such a fragrance. That's that Krishna factor. The Krishna factor becomes very famous. Once Shadbhuj Prabhu gave a lecture, wow factor. Wow, everything is wow. So anything comes in touch with Krishna, it becomes a wow factor. Everything becomes astonishing. Prabhupada mentions here astonishing, So it's there, it's a natural thing. If you see everything in this world, the things which are happening around, which is, so attractive to us, all because of the Krishna factor there. Only thing is we are not conscious about the things which are happening around us. Like there's one value books which my daughter was given one by Govind Prabhu. So in that one chapter, very nice, read out these stories to our children, and then there's one chapter where there's an exhibition, the painting exhibition. And one person comes in that place and he just goes through all the exhibitions, and one particular thing he liked, painting. So he said, "Who has done this?" So then he was pointed out to a particular boy who did the painting. So he went and approached him. He said, "Such a nice painting you have done." The boy feels himself very humbled and he says, "Actually, it's not me. I did it fine. But then, if you look around outside world, everything is so beautiful, everything is so nice. Once you see that, then you realize that, I am nothing. In fact, one should appreciate God who has created such a beauty. So, Krishna is Rasaraj. He is the king of all the rasas. So whatever beauty that you see around is because, the Krishna's touch is there. When I read this verse, I just went and was meditating on one particular flower. Just to see what is Krishna's beauty. Now when you see that, actually we don't have time to go out and sit and observe a flower or whatever, from blood growing into a wonderful blossom into a flower. But just seeing that flower, you can appreciate Krishna's beauty. No one can imitate how the texture, the flavor, the fragrance, Nobody can duplicate that. By just seeing that, you understand how wonderful artist Krishna is. And why that is? Because that Krishna factor is there. Krishna is there. Krishna is that life force. Prabhupada mentions that, you know, Krishna is a life force. Krishna enters into each and every atom of the universe. So whatever you see around is all because of, you know, Krishna's permitting into it. Prabhupada mentions about it in one of the purports. Prabhupada mentions that Krishna permits into each and every atom in the universe, and that's the reason everything appears so wonderful. The problem with this is that we become so insensitive to things happening around us that we don't realize and appreciate Krishna's beauty. But just if we just look around everywhere and see, and we find Krishna's beauty each and every place, everywhere around. Like in our school, Veerchandra Prabhu made the students, you know, do a project on Fibonacci series. Fibonacci series, in the sense, it's a particular series, and everything in the nature follows that particular series. Like, you know, if the petals are there, it will be either one, then next will be one, then 1 + 1 is 2, 2 + 1 is 3, and 3 + 2 is 5. There can never be 4 petals. It will be 5. 5 + 3 is 8. You will not find 6 or 7 petals. You will find 8. 8 + 3 is 11. That means no 9, no 10. You will find 11 petals. 11 + 8, 19. You will never find in a flower 12, 13, 14 petals. You will find after 11, it will be 19. 19 + 11 is 30. After 19, if there is any other number of petals, then it will be 30. You will not find 25 or 26. And you just observe that particular arrangement, even the branches of the tree, it seems it will branch either into 1 and 1, then 1 will become 2. The 2 will become 3, but not 4. It will become 5. 5 will become 8. 8 will become 11. 11, 19. Like that. So that also follows a particular pattern. And if you just see how this is happening, then you'll appreciate everything around. It seems everything in nature follows a particular pattern and has its particular beauty, has particular way in which it grows and you know, organizes itself. And when you are just conscious about things around, then you'll realize that, yeah, Krishna is there. The Krishna touch is there. Huh? Otherwise, how is it possible? Like, you know, the ground is green, the ground is brown, the branches are green, the flower is pink, and the fruit is yellow. Different colors, different flavors, different fragrances. How is it possible? So if you just appreciate that, if you just see that, then you realize that, you know, somebody is behind this. And the person behind is nothing known but Krishna, actually. Because the Krishna touch is there. Krishna's magic touch is there. And then when you see that, then definitely a person becomes, you know, he develops awe and reverence for the Lord. At the same time, he also, you know, expresses his astonishment. As here, Prabhupada mentions that the Vrijvasis were astonished by seeing the, smelling the fragrance. They were wondering from where this fragrance is coming from. The fragrance, they never expected that, you know, from burning of a dead body or something, the fragrance will be like this. But then seeing this, they became astonished. Now, actually, where does it astonish? Why you become astonished? Because we don't see what's behind, what's happening, who is behind that. That's why we become astonished. Like, just two examples, mundane examples. For me, something which really surprises up till now is how the aeroplane flies and how the mobile phones work. Even up till now, I don't understand that. You know, how the aeroplane works. Whenever I sit on an aeroplane, I just feel that how it goes up. But we just become so insensitive. We just go in an airplane, I fly, and then, you know, get down. It becomes so natural. It happens like, you know, well, I fly. That's all. You just go to sleep. But for me, it's always a thing, you know, how it goes, how it flies. You know, maybe 100 years back, nobody thought of even flying. Till the Wright brothers, you know, struggled and struggled. They some other met with so many failures, and then afterwards they just took up, and then they started flying. Then we realized that probably we can also fly. Then the jets, all this came. But still, I was still wondering, you know, how Prabhupada mentions that, you know, how these planes fly, which are heavier than even human beings. If you try to jump from here and try to fly, you may not be able to fly. You will fall down. But the birds fly, but we create airplanes which fly. But ask an engineering student, probably he will learn so many things and he'll understand that this is how the mechanics and that's how they fly. But still it becomes, you know, out of my this one, how it carries so many things and goes. And the mobiles, you know, this is something out of, means can't understand. When we were small, we would have that, you know, the dial phones. So at least there you had something to understand. Oh, it goes through the current and then from there it goes to some other place. Some sort of understanding may be there. But when the mobile phones came, you know, just imagine that, you know, you are talking to someone who is not even in the same country, same place, same area where you stay, but someone is somewhere in America. Somebody's mobile, somebody's from India, and then you call up, you say, where are you? I'm in Germany. And then you talk to him, it's so clear that APSR is just next door. You're talking to him. Sometimes I just can't understand that how it happens. So this is the nature that, you know, you find something astonishing when you don't know. Of course, there is something behind it. We all say about wavelength and all these things. But, you know, when you try to disturb the wavelength also, nothing gets disturbed. You know, you say all the wavelengths around, waves are there around, but then just try to block, still nothing happens. So that is the astonishing feature. So you find some things like this beyond comprehension, you know. But Krishna creates so many things which are much more astonishing. Prabhupada gives one of his lectures, he was mentioning that somebody in this material world may be very proud of his Sputnik. But then you go away from the Earth planet and you go higher up, you will find that all the planets are floating around so nicely. Prabhupada, you know, was in one of his discussions mentioning about this particular aspect. So if you are proud about Sputnik, then you will see that when you are away, you will find that all the planets are floating in a particular way, in a particular orbit. And who does that, orchestrates that? Krishna orchestrates everything. He makes them float in a particular fashion. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning, which is such a nice point to meditate upon also. He says that Krishna does so many things wonderful. The most amazing thing of all also is one of the most amazing things is something like clouds. The clouds, you know, they carry gallons and gallons of water. They float. He says, can you float water? No, but Krishna makes these clouds float and there are gallons and gallons of water. If one of these clouds, they fall in this city, then, you know, sometimes it can even, you know, flood the entire city. But Krishna makes one cloud float, and then His Holiness Radhana Maharaj in that lecture was mentioning the most amazing than that is that the aeroplanes flow through that or pass through that cloud and they don't get wet also. The aeroplane goes through that cloud, that means it can penetrate that cloud and still you don't get wet. The planes don't get wet. He says, that's the amazing thing. So it's such an astonishing aspect, you know. So that's what Krishna does. That's what Krishna does. You know, once as a stupid fool in the beginning, I just thought I'll ask a question because, you know, that time His Holiness Radha Maharaj would give almost every day practically. So once such episode, and then I asked one question. I said, why does Krishna make all the planets float? I thought I asked a very intelligent question. Why does Krishna make all the planets float? So Maharaj just looked at me and said, because he wants to show that what he can do, you cannot do. He wants to show you that what he can do, you cannot do. That's why he does that. Simple answer, one line answer. That made me realize that there was a foolish question which was asked, but at the same time, point to make us understand that Krishna can do something wonderful, astonishing beyond our comprehension. And just, you know, understand the fact that yes, Krishna is behind it, and then accept it. Nothing beyond that. You have to just accept that Krishna can do that. The Krishna factor, when it comes in a life of a devotee or anywhere, then definitely those things are there which changes. You do see so many things. Like Prabhupada in another place mentions that Krishna is like a very adventurous person, you know. Krishna very active. He doesn't like anything, you know, in a very passive, just needs activity, adventurous. So something has to happen. It happens beyond sometimes our comprehension. I was in Diwa just 3 days back. And probably if I had not gone there, I would not have known the nature and enthusiasm of the devotees. And definitely I agree. I suppose all the devotees who are traveling to different places also may be having the same type of realization that, you know, when they go to different places, they find that these people are doing also so many amazing things. So here just a congregation of just 20 or 30 people during the December marathon, they distributed books worth 1,40,000, which probably is very difficult for me to comprehend. Like 1 month, they distributed books worth 1,40,000. So I was just telling them that maybe 20 years back, when I first joined, our congregation strength was 100. And that time we thought that, you know, everything will be just moving around with a particular fashion. Maybe it will increase to only 400 or 500 or 1,000. But never realized that, you know, things will spread like that. There will be different satellite centers, that we may have to divide a particular city of Bombay into 4 divisions and have so many programs going on at different places. Could not imagine that something like this could happen, you know. But that's how the Krishna factor works. It just sometimes, you know, takes you off guard and then does something which is so wonderful and so astonishing that we just have to just accept. Like when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, Chaitanya Charitamrita very nicely, elaborately mentions about this, that how in the month of Magh he took sannyas, in the month of Falgun then he went to Jagannath Puri, then in Chaitra he delivered Sarvam Bhattacharya, and then Vaishakha he started touring South India. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through the South, he was chanting all the while. And then when he went to Alalnath, he induced everyone to chant, and everyone were in ecstasy and they were chanting the holy names. Krishna, 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 hey. And when he was chanting, Nityananda Prabhu predicted at that time that very soon every town and village will be infused with this Krishna prem. And Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go, he would induce everyone, he would embrace someone, and that person would be completely infused with Krishna prem. That person would go to his village, and the villagers would just look at him and would become devotees. And whoever he would embrace, they also would become devotees. And those villagers would go to some other village, and somebody else looks at them, they'll become devotees. And that's how the Krishna prem was spreading. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions here that, you know, don't think that is something which I'm talking out of this. This actually happened. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching to South India, this actually happened. And this is how the entire South was infused with Krishna prem. That's all. Krishna just, Chaitanya just went, embraced, and they would embrace someone else, and they would get Krishna prem. Those people would go to some other village, they would get someone Krishna prem. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that, you know, unless one is favored by the Lord, the empowerment doesn't come. That means either through the Lord or through the devotee. The devotee is empowered to spread the holy name and give this holy name to others. So the Lord directly empowers. But unless until one is favored by the Lord, and then, you know, Prabhupada mentions that each one of us has been given that role to just spread this message to others. So I was thinking that, you know, how Srila Prabhupada, when he went to the West, he just went to one place, went to Thompson Square Park, he was just playing kartal, some people came, took shelter. Prabhupada said he should start preaching. Somebody else went to some other place, started one center. From there, three couples went to London. There started. And from there, you know, it spread like wildfire, went to Europe. Then somebody goes to some other place in distant area, and there the preaching starts. Now you can't imagine how these things are happening. If you see, it's just, you know, adbhut, it's just astonishing that how things can happen like that. But it has happened. You know, it has happened. Like we may say, how is it possible that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced and then he got infused with Krishna Prema and he induced someone else? But here also it's happening. In a matter of just, you know, few years, you find that, you know, people all over the world are chanting. There are temples all over the place. Devotees, anywhere you go, any place, any part of the world you go, there are devotees. You know, there are devotees who are chanting. So this is the beauty, that wherever you go, you'll find, because, you know, favored by the Lord and empowered to do that preaching activity. So this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that Chaitanya empowers everyone to do what he actually did when he went to South. He infused by just embracing, but that same thing as embracing the holy name, accepting the process and then giving it to others, and then the whole thing spreads around. Another example I was thinking about is the Jharkhand forest. When Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan, he went through Jharkhand forest, and he went with his servant Ballabhadra Bhattacharya. And when he went there, he just saw a tiger sitting, sleeping. He just kicked the tiger. And the tiger just jumped up and started dancing in ecstasy, chanting. Then he went to take a bath, and he just sprinkled on some herd of elephants. The elephant started. And then as he was walking, some does, deers were walking behind him. He just, you know, singing a very wonderful verse, melodious verse, and then the deer started. Slowly, slowly, the tigers, the elephants, they were following him, the deer. And everyone was chanting, and then he suddenly remembered how in Vrajdham, each and every one is infused with Krishna Prem. So he induced everyone to chant, and the tigers and deers all were chanting together, and then Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami mentions that a tiger and deer, they started hugging each other and then kissing. So which is, you know, something which is beyond our comprehension. Said that even Ballabhadra was astonished to see this. How is this possible? So I was trying to remember that, you know, Prabhupada also did the same thing. Prabhupada, from different walks of life, he got people. When he went to Africa, you would see people would eat mosquitoes, flies, steal his clothes. He had to make a fifth regulatory principle, don't eat flies also. Now, just imagine, he had to deal with such people. Right? Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumba, Yavana, Kashadaya, Yenecha, Papa, Yada, Pashraya, Shraya, Shudyanti, Tasme, Prabhishna, Namanava. According to Varnashram, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudras, they are there. Below them are all these categories. You know? So, in a proper Varnashram Dharma, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they follow a particular system. Brahman teaches, the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, they administer, the Vaishyas, they cultivate, the Shudras, they serve the others. One who don't follow this are the ones who are of this category. And Prabhupada had to preach to such people. Prabhupada had to go to these countries and then teach them how to live, you know, how to clean. Like I was hearing this lecture from Bhakti Vidyapur Maharaj on puja classes. You know, he said in the West, everything had to be told to them. Here at least there's some culture that, you know, after going to the toilet, you should take a bath. Something, you know. He said even in the slum area also, that concept is still there, that, you know, at least you should take a bath. In the West, that concept is not there. And Prabhupada had to actually tell them that you have to do this, you have to do this from different backgrounds, different places. But then, just by the touch of Krishna and touch of our devotee, what happened is as they all became purified completely and become Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas of the topmost order. And when the kirtan goes on, nobody even bothers whether you are from this place or that place. An African, an American, an Australian, from any part of, when they all come together, just dance in ecstasy. That's what happens. So this is another thing which is a very astonishing feature. And the third thing just wanted to meditate upon was this Jharikhand forest. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inducing Narayani to chant. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be in Navadvip, he would always every day dance in the house of Srivas Thakur, have kirtan. First they would chant only in the morning, then one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why waste the night also? So in the night also they would chant. So whole day and night they would be chanting. And Srivas Thakur would be always be in ecstasy serving the Lord. And Mukunda would chant melodious kirtans and Chaitanya sometimes would go into ecstasy. And in the middle of the night would disturb the neighbors would get upset. And so much so that the neighbors became so malicious, they became envious of this. They started shouting and abusing Srivas Thakur and giving all bad names. That these people, we don't know what they do at home, in their house. And now very soon the Qazi has come to know about it, and then we have just heard that he has sent about two boats full of people just to destroy us. And because of them, even we will be destroyed. So this way they would tell, you know, when devotees would pass by, they would just be commenting on this. So when Srivas Thakur would, and devotees heard, they would become little morose because, you know, something is directly attacked, Lord is directly being targeted because of this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was undisturbed. But then because as Paramatma he knows everyone's heart, he just came back. And when once Srivas Thakur was worshipping Lord Narasingdev, he just came inside and roared like a lion. And he told Srivas that you want to know my power? By my power I can induce everyone to chant. He says, if you want, I will go to the Qazi and I'll induce him to chant the holy name. And I'll make each and everyone chant. If they don't chant, I will plead and request them that please chant this holy name, and they have to chant. And if you want to know my power, just see. And that time Shiva's niece was there, Narayani in front. And he said, Narayani, chant the holy names. And as soon as Narayani started chanting, you know, she just went into ecstasy and she just fell down. So everybody saw that power of Lord Chaitanya, and then they all became pacified. So this is, you know, how the Lord does so many wonderful, amazing things. We find that, you know, in our movement, when Prabhupada went to the West, he just induced everyone. But he just gave us this wonderful Krishna consciousness philosophy that anyone from any age group can take to this process and accept it. Sometimes I'm amazed when I take this book, the Srimad Bhagavatam, any books which are been translated by Prabhupada, and take any other spiritual book, sometimes you can't understand. It becomes too heavy when you read something else. But when you read Prabhupada's books, it becomes, you know, you feel so comfortable reading it because the English is so clear. It's not so taxing on the head a lot. You know, the same words, but just put in such a way that you can really understand and absorb it also. Even a small three-year-old child, you tell him, he'll know Deinosmanyata Eka translation. As a embodied soul, conditioned boy, you told his soul, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know? Means anyone can take to this and perfect their lives. Isn't that amazing? It's really amazing. Because no one can say that, you know, I cannot take to this process because it's too difficult for me. A child can take, an old man can take, a woman can take. Even somebody who doesn't know anything just takes to this philosophy, hears and then perfects his life. That's what is the thing. So, we find that, you know, the Krishna factor, as I was mentioning, that where there's a touch of Krishna in somebody's life, then amazing things take place. I just would like to just end with one particular episode which Giriraj Maharaj in his memoirs has mentioned about his Crazy Peter. All of you may be aware of this Crazy Peter episode. But just for my purification, I'll just speak about it because it's related to this. Giriraj Maharaj is mentioning how in Boston, when he was in the temple, staying there, they would of course struggle to preach in those areas, but then there's one person, he would just come in the hallways, he'll just sit and lie down, do nothing. Like Gaurang Prabhu that day was mentioning about in Bhaktivedanta Manor, just lying down and doing nothing, and then you don't know who is doing what. So this person, Crazy Peter, his name is Peter, but it became Crazy Peter. But Peter was just sitting in the hallway doing nothing. So Satsur Maharaj, it seems, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada. He said, this person is just spoiling our time. He's just wasting his time, also wasting our time, and he's doing nothing. What should we do with him? Prabhupada just wrote a letter back. He said, can't we tolerate? But because Prabhupada said, they had to keep quiet. And Giriraj Maharaj said, after some time, we found that he has left for New York from Boston. And then later on, remembered that from New York, he has gone to New Vrindavan. And there he's got initiated. So that's what Giriraj Maharaj mentions. And after 20 years, he meets him in some other temple. And he says, who is this? He says, he's Kushakrita Prabhu. Giriraj Maharaj says, Kushakrita, the one who translates books from Sanskrit and Bengali to English. Now this person, 20 years later, one who they had named him as Crazy Peter, becomes such a scholar that he translates all the books in Sanskrit and Bengali into English. How is it possible? Because the touch of a devotee of Krishna made things amazingly happen in their lives. So you don't know who is doing what or who can do what. I'll just quote Gaurang Prabhu mentioning very nice, wonderful thing, analogy. Like he was giving example of this particular hall. He says, there are many chandeliers, there are many lights, this, so many things, you know. At the same time, there may be some bulbs which are kept. When you are decorating this particular hall, there may be sometimes some arrangements for some bulbs or some things, you know, some wonderful items, which may not be used the whole day. But on a particular occasion, on Sharad Purnima or something, those may be used. That means their use is only once in a year. But the importance is there. Like when there is a Shayan Darshan Kirtan, then all these things which are here, they will get the importance. The chandeliers are all not there, but then they will glow. That means they have their own position. Then at the right time is there, they will do their work. So we do not know which devotee will do what work at what time. Somebody we may just name him, you know, he's a good for nothing fellow. He's not doing anything. He's just a lazy bum. But when the right time comes, Krishna can use him to do something wonderful. Maybe it may be once in a lifetime, but that person has done his job. Just like that bulb has done his job, when the Sharad Purnima comes, he has glown, he has shown light on Radha Gopinath and all the wonderful personalities on the altar. And that's all. Everyone said, so nice, wonderful. Then finish. Then nobody will even look at that place also. Nobody will look at that bulb also. So, the point here to discuss is that, you know, that we cannot take anyone for granted. That anyone where that Krishna factor has come in this life, that person is worth glorifying, that person is worth giving respect. We can't take a person for granted. Why? Because that Krishna factor has come into his life. Krishna has entered into his life. So once Krishna has entered his life, and Krishna, because he's an adventurous person, Krishna can do anything through anyone at any time. He can empower a person to do something beyond our imagination, which you may not be able to understand. And I've realized personally in my own lives, there are devotees whom I have chastised in the previous, you know, years, and now they are doing so many wonderful service. Sometimes I feel amazed. I feel very, you know, humbled, and I feel repentant that, you know, I chastised that particular devotee, or I just shouted at the devotee, I spoke rudely to the person, and that really makes me feel bad. Because at that moment you find that, oh, that person is not doing, and you use your own intelligence and try to judge a person, and then not allowing the time to take its own course, and over a period of time you find that person is doing so many things, so many wonderful things you don't do and they do. It's like this. So the Krishna factor, the magic touch of Krishna, when it's there, then that person is glorious. That person is glorious. Probably at this particular moment, that person may be like that bulb, which is not showing its, you know, feature, because it's not needed at that time. But when it's necessary, Krishna will use them. Krishna will just put them in the limelight and say, okay, now you start glowing. Now the Sharad Purnima has come. Use it. Over Sharad Purnima, sit up back, no problem. But that person has done his job. And that person has done the amazing job. Like Prabhuji was mentioning on Sunday about this Bhaktivedanta manner, you know, somebody who knew that that person will be able to come in touch with, you know, because of him, somebody will come in touch with Margaret Thatcher. I heard it for the first time. When I heard it, there are so many amazing stories may be there. You don't know which devotee will come and come of help at what time. So best thing is that, you know, appreciate each and every devotee, because that Krishna factor has come into the life. And that's the reason why Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas, we offer obeisance to everyone. His Holiness Radhana Maharaj in Barsana was mentioning that if everything goes the way you want, you know, then where's the fun there? Like if you decide, oh, this is how the thing should happen. And if it happens the way you have decided, first of all, there's no fun. Secondly, you'll become proud. He says, but it's about Krishna's not like that. He says, you plan something and everything, it becomes exactly opposite, or maybe, you know, may not happen the way you plan. He says, there is what is excitement. He says, there is excitement over there. And you have to appreciate that. So similarly in our lives, we may plan many things that we'll do a particular thing in a particular way, this, but be rest assured that things will not go the way that you want, because Krishna doesn't allow that to happen. Krishna doesn't allow that to happen. That's why Vishwaroop Prabhu was mentioning a very nice thing, that in Krishna consciousness, bliss is guaranteed, but peace is not guaranteed. Peace is not guaranteed, bliss is guaranteed. You will get bliss. But not that, you know, you take this process and everything will be peaceful the way things are happening. This will not be allowed to happen. Peace, not guaranteed. Bliss may be guaranteed. So we may plan something, but may come different. Why? Because Krishna is like that. Krishna wants to get it done the way he wants. And we have to accept it. And at that moment, probably we may not realize. But then in retrospection, we may realize, yes. Wow, such a wonderful. Then that wow factor comes. Now, as I was thinking, 20 years back, I could not understand that, you know, something like this will happen here. But now, 20 years later, now see, so many things are happening. Different preaching centers, different activities. Devotees whom I thought probably were not capable of doing, they are doing wonderful things. And still are doing, and still will be doing. Who knows what things will be done. We just have to just sit and, you know, remain astonished, that's all. Just see what the things happen, how Krishna unfolds, how the preaching activities may go. So we have to just open our mouth and say, wow, that's all. Like Sri Bhuj Prabhu said. So this is what I wanted to share with all of you. I'm not a very big, great scholar. Just wanted to share what I actually, because I was thinking that it's just a one sentence purport, what will I speak, you know, but then when I started pondering deep into it, I said, there are so many things to learn also. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.